So we have been going through the past few weeks on a series of becoming a real Christian or being a real disciple of Jesus Christ. And the main thing is basically not only to recognize Him as our Savior, but also to recognize Him as our Lord. And as I said last week, or actually the last few weeks, that when we do not recognize Him as our Lord, not recognize Jesus as our Lord, we miss out on many of the wonderful blessings that He wants to give us. But because we are not obeying Him and not recognizing Him as our Lord, we miss out on all these wonderful blessings. And one such blessing is actually recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25-34. Basically, what Jesus said is that when we recognize Him as our Lord, well, we no longer have to worry about all our needs in this life. Let me just go on to that place in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25-34. Okay, let's just read this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. Verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So here's one of the benefits of knowing, recognizing Jesus as our Lord, is that Jesus said, hey, we will recognize God is the one who provides for us. God is the one who, He knows all our needs, and He's the one who will provide when we recognize Him as our Lord and Savior, our Lord, our God. So let's just take a closer look into these verses, where Jesus tells us, hey, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Basically, these are the so-called necessities of life. You know, we need to eat and to drink in order to survive, and we need clothes to put on our bodies. And Jesus is saying, you know what, all these things, you know, God can and God will provide to those who believe in Him and those who recognize Him as their Lord. And basically, in verses 26 to 30, Jesus gives us many examples of how God provides. He shows us that, you know, look at the birds of the air. You know, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't, you know, basically farm, and yet, you know, God feeds them. And we as human beings, we as His children, are in fact more precious to Him than these birds. And, you know, will He not provide for us also? And He also shows us the futility of worry. Worrying doesn't really do anything good to us or for us. You know, none of us who worry can actually add, you know, a cubit to our stature, meaning that none of us can add, you know, a cubit, I believe, is 18 inches, or can add an inch to our, you know, height just by worrying. That doesn't really do us any good. And He gave us another example, saying that, you know, look at the flowers in the field, and look how beautiful they are, but they neither, you know, make dresses, they don't spin, they don't toil, and yet not even King Solomon, who is supposedly one of the richest kings ever existed, supposedly he made silver and bronze so common in his nation that it's, you know, it's of little value. And that's how powerful or how rich he was. And yet, not even him, in all his glory, was not dressed like one of the beautiful flowers that we see growing on the fields, in the fields. So God, who can, you know, make such wonderful things, will He not care about His people? Will He not, you know, give them what they need. And this is basically what Jesus is saying. Do not worry about, you know, all the so-called necessities of life, because God knows that we need them. And I believe that verse 30 actually captures one of the most important thing that he wants to convey to us. It's basically, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? I believe many times, you know, why we do not trust God, or why we start, you know, handling things in our own way or our own, you know, power, is because, you know, we really have a lack of faith in him. We don't trust him. We don't believe that he is good. We don't believe that he will provide for us. And that's why, you know, we are not willing to give our entire life to him. But Jesus is saying, hey, you know, expand your faith. You know, start knowing who God is. That he is not some harsh and strict God who likes to see us suffer. Instead, he is someone who will and who does provide for us. He knows our needs. He knows what we need. And, you know, one thing is that, you know, don't be someone of little faith. Don't be someone who lacks faith or who has little faith. But in fact, in Hebrews it says that, you know, God is pleased with those who have faith. It is impossible to please him if we do not have faith in him. So let's go to that very famous verse in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which is talking about faith. In fact, if you want to know what faith is, what biblical faith is, just go read Hebrews chapter 11, and it actually tells us what faith is. But let's go to the verse I just quoted in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it is clear that, you know, God is pleased by the person who has faith, and who has strong faith, not just little faith. And faith in what? Faith in believing that God is, God exists, and that God rewards those who seek him. No, that's the kind of faith that pleases God, and that's the kind of faith that allows us to, you know, to overcome worries, that allows us to laugh at, you know, the stresses of life, because we know that there is a God who loves us, who loves us more than the birds of the air, and he feeds them, and who loves us more than the flowers and the beautiful flowers in the valley, you know, and he clothes us with, you know, beautiful clothes. So someone who recognized Jesus as our Savior, or God as our Lord, not only Savior but as our Lord, is someone who can be free from the worries of this life, because, you know, God is looking after us, and God, you know, because we gave our life to God, therefore he is responsible for our lives, therefore he's responsible for providing all our needs, you know, all the necessities of life, what should we eat, what should we drink, and, you know, even what should we wear. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31 and 32, where it says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Once again, I'm just repeating what the Bible says, is that God knows that we need them, and God will provide to those who recognize him as their God. In order to understand this phrase more better, now let me just give a quick definition of what the Gentile is. In the Old Testament, basically, I guess the Old Testament splits the people into two groups. One is the people of God, called Israel, and the other is whoever does not belong to the people of God. They just call them Gentiles, you know, or outsiders. Whoever doesn't know God is called a Gentile. And if we use the same definition into the New Testament, into the modern times, you know, basically it's also the people of God, meaning, you know, those who believe in him, versus those who do not belong to God, those who do not recognize him, and those are called Gentiles. So basically, you know, we can split the world into two different groups right now: those who know God, the believers and people of God, and those who do not know God yet are called Gentiles. So what Jesus is saying is that, you know what, you believers of God, you who believe in God, you should not live like how the Gentiles live, because they do not know God. therefore they are worried about the things of this life. And you know, we can see that in the world today, you know, people are worrying about, you know, their jobs, their what they should eat, what they should wear, you know, where they should sleep, all those stuff. And yet, as Christians, as true Christians who recognize Jesus as not only our Savior but as our Lord, we are free from such worries, because we know that God, who you know, created the flower, beautiful flowers, who created the wonderful birds, you know, He is the one who will provide for us. He provided food for the birds. He'll provide food for His people. He provided wonderful clothing for the flowers per se, and likewise, He'll provide clothing for His people. So all the necessities of life are provided for by God to those who recognize Him as their Lord, as their God. In fact, there are examples in the Bible where God is actually offended when supposedly His people, those who believe in Him, instead of recognizing Him as their provider, runs to some other people for help. You know, there are many times, many examples in actually, I believe, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, where the kings of Israel, or the kings of Judah, which split apart, or which actually Israel split apart from the, Judah, but the kings of Israel, or the kings of Judah, which supposedly belong to God, instead of running to God for protection when, you know, an invading army is going to attack them, they decide to, you know, send money to other nations like Egypt or Assyria for help. And then many times, you know, they just, you know, send all their gold, all their silver, and crying out for help from the stronger nations like Egypt or Assyria to come and protect them and help them against the invading armies, wherever they are, from the Philistines or from Assyria or from, you know, from each other, you know, Israel attacking Judah or Judah attacking Israel. And after the king did that, many times God will send a prophet to the kings and said, you know what, you made a big mistake. Why do you run to the other nations? Why do you run to other human beings for help and not come and ask God for protection, and not come to ask God, you know, to protect us or to help us in time of need? That's many times God is offended when His people actually run somewhere else for provision or protection instead of running to Him. There is actually a story in 2 Kings chapter 1 that's actually very telling, and let's go there in 2 Kings chapter 1. Let me just read to you verse 3. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 3. Actually, let me just read from verse 1 to verse 4. So 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 4, Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Now Ahaziah, that's the king after Ahab, fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. Verse 3, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So Elijah departed. So in verse 3 is actually the main point of this whole thing, is that, you know, God is asking, hey, wait a minute, you know, you are the king of Israel, you know, and actually, yeah, you're the king of Israel, and why are you going, you know, somewhere else, some other nations, to ask for you know, to see how you know, whether you will recover or not. So God got really, really angry, and He got offended, and He said, you know what, because you went out, because you do not recognize Him as God, you do not recognize God as God, therefore, you know, you are going, you're not going to come down from your deathbed, you're going to stay there and basically die. And that's what, if you keep on reading the whole chapter, you'll see that that's exactly what happened. So many times, actually, God gets offended when, you know, His people, supposedly those who claim to be His people, do not look to Him for provision. Instead, you know, many times, many people, you know, will look to other people for help, or will look to themselves for help. You know, they made themselves their own God. They think that, you know, I can do this, I can do this, and you know, God, you just stay there, do whatever you do, let me do whatever I do, until I get into trouble, then I'll run to you. As I said, you know, a few weeks past, this view, this kind of attitude actually makes God our Savior. You know, when we are need help, we run to Him, save us, God. But do not recognize Him as our Lord, meaning that Lord God, everything, every day, every second of my life, I give to You. Tell me what You want me to do, and I will do it. So God is very serious of making a distinction between the Gentiles and those who belong to Him. Those who belong to Him should not live like the Gentiles. The Gentiles, because they do not know the one true God, they are worried about what they shall eat, what they shall drink, or what they shall wear. But the people of God knows that God will provide for them. God knows their need, and He will provide for the necessities of our life. That's why we don't have to worry about those things. Instead, what we should focus on is actually found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to us, to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for a day is its own trouble. What should we focus on? We should not focus on what the Gentiles, what those people who do not know God, focuses on, basically the necessities of life. Instead, we should focus on the kingdom of God. You know, actually Romans 14, verse 17, the Apostle Paul actually tells us what, you know, basically what encompasses the kingdom of God. So let's go to Romans 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14. Go to Romans verse 17, where the Apostle Paul is actually also repeating the same idea. In Romans 14 verse 17, this is what Paul says: for the kingdom of God is not eating or drink and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Once again, it's the same idea. Hey, don't worry about what you eat or what you drink. You know, all these things God knows that He will provide. However, let's focus on the kingdom of God. And what does it entail? It's basically, hey, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's living a life of righteousness, living a life of peace, and living a life of joy in the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that God wants us to focus upon. Righteousness, living a life of holiness, living a life of righteousness, you know, peace and joy, having supernatural peace, you know, as we said last week, when we talk about, you know, exchanging our yoke with His, is that, you know, God, Jesus will actually give us supernatural rest, supernatural peace from the worries of life. So those who recognize Jesus as our Lord, actually knows that because God, we have exchanged our life with His, we have exchanged our yoke with His, God is therefore responsible for our necessities, you know, the things that we wear, the things that we eat, the things that we drink. He will provide for us, and our focus should not be on those things, but our focus should be on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our focus should be on God and what He wants. Our focus should be on, you know, maturing as Christians. And probably next week we'll talk about, you know, what does that mean? How does that, you know, look like? And focusing on God and His righteousness and His peace and His joy through the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Spirit. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 6 and just finish this whole passage in Matthew chapter 6 verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. But God is saying, hey, stop worrying. Stop worrying about the necessities of life. Stop worrying about the future. You know, stop worrying about, you know, what may or may not occur. But focus on Him. Because when you focus on Him, when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, when you seek Him, when you desire to know Him more, all the rest of these things God will provide. All the rest of these things God knows you need, and He will provide. Just like He provided for the birds, just like He provided for the flowers to become beautiful, you are more precious to Him than birds. You are more precious to Him than flowers. And if you focus on the things that He tells you to focus on, basically His kingdom and His righteousness, then God will provide for all your need. So this is just one of the many, many wonderful blessings that God gives to those who actually recognize Him as their Lord, is that we don't have to worry about the things that you know, causes concerns for the people who do not know God. We don't have to worry about the things that causes concerns for the Gentiles. You know, even the necessities of life, especially for the necessities of life, you know, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear, because God knows that we need them. And when we focus on the things that God tells us to focus on, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things, all the rest of the things, all the necessities of life will be provided for us. That's what God is saying, and that's what God is reminding us. When we recognize Him as our Lord, He will provide for all the necessities of our life. So let's close this time in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for reminding us once again, Lord, that we should focus on Your kingdom and on Your righteousness, because, Lord, You know all You will give us the rest of the things that we need, Lord. When we obey Your command, Lord, You are pleased, and, Lord, we are more precious to You than birds. We are more precious to You than the grass in the field, the flowers, the beautiful flowers. We are more precious to You, Lord, because You love us. And Lord, thank You, Lord. I ask that, you know, for my listeners, Lord, that they will experience Your wonderful love fall upon them right now, Lord. And Lord, that they will recognize that indeed You are a great God and You are a good God. You desire to provide for Your people if we recognize You as our Lord and Savior, Lord. So I ask, Lord, Your Holy Spirit will come and just gently remind us to in everything that we do, Lord. We recognize You as our Lord, and we ask You, Lord, come and lead me, come and teach me. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.